Again, I'd like to welcome you each here and welcome our brothers and sisters who are watching on live stream. It's good to see the place pretty full. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to introduce our speaker today. For those of you that were listening to the announcements, he wasn't the announced speaker. The announced speaker decided to go with Don on a missionary trip because Joel couldn't go. So I was glad that all those parts fell into place, and our brother Stephen agreed to be our speaker today. I was in the mountains yesterday, and I thought, I better call Stephen, see if he'll preach tomorrow. And I was thankful that he agreed to do so, and so I'm certainly eager to hear the message that he has prepared for us today. Stephen.
Thank you, Brother Andy. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I was going to use the excuse that he only gave me since yesterday afternoon to come up with this, but I was partially prepared last week in case Jose couldn't make it, or I didn't know Jose was going to preach. There's a little confusion there, so I was partially ready, so I have no excuse. I'm ready as I'm going to be. So for today's text, I'm going to start with Psalm 46. I think the Psalms are wonderful passages of scriptures. I always love reading the Book of Mormon because they're written so in such beautiful language, easy to be read. And the Psalms, you know, I must admit as a kid, the Psalms to me were a form of poetry, and I could not stand poetry. I just was, you know, it was the sissies that read the poetry, and that's what I grew up like. And so for those that didn't think I could mature, I absolutely love the Psalms now. They say things that that I'm not able to say, and they speak a lot of things that I'm not able to say. And I'm able to read them and just shut up and let them speak. But I do take great joy in them. This particular passage I was reading 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think I was reading to my kids, and there was a word in it that kind of struck a tone with me that that I thought I would bring to you today. It stuck out to me, but I'm going to read the entire psalm. It's only 11 verses, and this is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of our Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The title of today's sermon I've written down here is called Fear the Lord. And that word that stuck out, obviously, is fear in the second verse. That word fear is an interesting word to me. It has a different connotation today than it probably did back then, and we'll get into that. But that word stuck out. And part of that reason, when you think about fear, it has a negative connotation. And obviously, when we think about the different scriptures that talk about fearing the Lord, fearing God, it's not what we really define fear as today. So let's and let me get to that. I want to read another psalm here. Psalm 55. And I'm going to, for those of you that are clock watchers, when I come back to Psalm 55, you know that the end is near, okay? I'm going to read 1 through 9. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of my enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained with me, and the terrors are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and the horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. This particular psalm is credited to David and something he was written. And to me, this is a... We get to see the inside of a man. You know, not writing down everything that is perfect in his life and showing what a wonderful person he is, but he's showing his fear here. He's showing his fear, and not in a good way. In verse 5, he says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And we'll see, hopefully, by the end of this sermon, that we need not tremble. And we need not be fearful, as the world defines it today. So I ask the question to you, not to you necessarily, it's a rhetorical question. What is fear? What exactly is it fear? We read scriptures here that will talk about the fear of the Lord, and we'll read a few of them. Those that love him, fear him, all of these things. And when you look at the word fear, and I looked up the word, right? And if you look up, if you pull out your Strong's Concordance or whatever concordance you want, and you look up fear, and you look it up, and there's probably 10 different Greek or Hebrew words, depending on which book you're in, that describe the word fear. And inevitably, every one of them that describe the Lord, of course, when it's speaking of the Lord, it's referring to reverence. And when it's not, when it's referring to Satan, it's more referring to dread and an evil thing, you know, the opposites of reverence. But when you look up the word fear, I like some of the definitions that are there. All right, I got something mixed up here. Oh, there we go. It says to be afraid of, to expect or worry about, to be afraid and worried. You know, that's kind of definition when we think about fear, you know. And the thing is when you think about God and talk about fearing God, it sounds funny when you say that, to fear God. Because when I think about fearing things, you know, I think about when I was a little kid and you'd watch show and there was monsters under the bed and in the closet and you know, you were fearful of things. I remember watching a show and scared myself to death, and I hated that. I hated that feeling. But that's the fear. When I think about fear, that's the fear I think of. And, you know, how could we relate that to the Lord? It's a different kind of fear. We tend to make ourselves afraid of things, and we shouldn't. Now, one of the other definitions of fear is my favorite one. I love the word that they use there, to have reverential awe of, and specifically fearing God. In this word reverence, I like the definition of reverence too. A feeling of profound awe and respect, and often love. So this is different. You know, this is a different... This word reverence You know, we don't really have good examples anymore of reverence, of what we could have. If we look up and read stories and books and the scriptures, you know, we hear about reverence that they had to have for kings because they would kill them, you know, if they didn't fear them. And again, it's an example. You know, today we think about what kids, I shouldn't say kids, what a lot of people do is they build up these idols and this reverence to people. You know, I think about people like Michael Jordan. Athletes today are revered, and they shouldn't be. I mean, they're tremendous at what they do, and a lot of people do that, but they're not to be, you know, they're in awe of. You know, but I think about that example when we think about the Lord. And we'll read a scripture towards the end here that I really enjoy when it talks about that regarding King Benjamin. But, you know, he's to be feared. He's to be revered. All right. So let's read. Let's go to Psalms 25 and 14. And it says here in this psalm, verse 14, Psalm 25. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. You know, here it makes that promise. It talks about those that are going to fear Him. This reminds me of the scripture where it talks about when Christ is talking to His disciples and He tells them that, you know, they have ears to hear and eyes to see. You don't want to mix that up. You have eyes to see and ears to hear, but having these things, they don't see or hear. And this is what that scripture reminds me of. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Let's go to Psalm 34. I'm going to read 7 through 11 here. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want anything, any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so obviously this fear thing, we talked about this reverence that we have in the scripture, I think I could read that and sit back down again because they summed it up very well for me. This fear of the Lord is not what we see it today where there's dread and there's anxiety and something that you don't want. This fear of the Lord is about reverence. So let's go to an example of this. Let's go to Leviticus 19. So Leviticus chapter 19, and I'm going to read 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. I think this is an excellent example of what the Lord wants in fearing, in the point that we're supposed to fear Him. And when we think about this example of my parents, or of parents, or even my parents, you know, I don't sit down with my kids and go, kids, you're going to fear me. You know, it's not a statement that I make. It's true. You know, if I said that to them, I don't know what they would do. We're supposed to fear our parents. But think about that relationship with a child and a kid, okay? You know, the children up to a point, quickly they become teenagers and that relationship begins to dwindle. They don't have that reverence they once had usually. They lose some of that because they're starting to learn, if you will. And understand, but the young kids, they're reliant upon their parents for food, for shelter. They have no need to want or to ask for these things because we provide. Now, we forget sometimes, but we do provide it. Everything that they need in a child is given by the parents. It's supposed to be given. Everything that they learn, you know, courage, the scriptures, everything that they need is given by a parent to their children. There's no fear there. You know, what's the one time, if you can use it, what is that time when you actually do fear your parents? You know, it's when you've committed a sin, right? You know, you can wake up in the morning, you get up and you're running around, bebopping around and everything's great. You know, and then once you realize that your parents caught you doing something, you know, that's the time you fear. And I believe that example that he gave us there when he talked about fearing parents, you know, he set that, however God did that, he set that example up so we would have that understanding of what our parents bring. We are supposed to fear the Lord in the same way. And we are supposed to respect the Lord, revere the Lord, and understand that He can give us everything and anything that we need. Not always our wants, but our needs. And our parents are the same way. Parents have to say no sometimes to their kids, and the kids don't always understand that. But everything that a child needs, their parents can provide for them. Not all their wants, right? We can't supply them with 10,000 pounds of candy that they would like to eat each and every day. We have to say no to that. Although Amy is much better than I am at that. But we as parents, and that's the relationship, this fear that the Lord desires us to have. Let's go to Moroni, chapter 2. I'm sorry, that's Mosiah chapter 2. I don't know who wrote Moroni here, but I know it's Mosiah. I have to talk to them. So Mosiah chapter 2, this is King Benjamin speaking to the people. And he's given them this long talk on the things that they need to be doing. And I'm going to read Mosiah chapter 2, I'm going to read 1 through 8. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude. And behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried with one voice, saying, O, have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down from among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy, having received a remission of their sins, and having peace of conscience, because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, which should come, according to the words of King Benjamin had spoken unto them. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, My friends and brethren, my kindred and my people, I will again call your attention, that ye may hear and understand the remainder of my words, which I'll speak unto you. For behold, if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time hath awakened you to your sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, I say unto you that you have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God, and his matchless power, and his wisdom, and his patience, and his long-suffering towards the children of men. I love this passage of Scripture. It's a humbling verse of Scripture. I would love to have been there at this time to see this or partake of this, even if I was the one that was humbled to the dust of the earth, it says here. And I love what Benjamin says to them. In verse 9, he says, I say unto you that if ye had come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power, his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards the children of men. You know, the Lord is patient with us. He truly is patient. And we see a group of people here, as it says in verse 2, that they build themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. You know, these people had a different kind of fear of the Lord. You know, they were afraid because they were stuck in their carnalness. They were stuck in sins. But when they had realized their sins and they had repented of their sins as they did here, and the Lord poured His Spirit upon them, they had no reason to fear. And it became that God of fear, that fear of respect and reverence and of need for Him. Let's turn to Luke 12. In Luke 12, I'm going to read 4 through 9. And this is Christ. He's speaking to his disciples here, and there's a large group of people around them. And he says in 4 through, 9. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed you hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than the sparrows. Also I say unto you, whomsoever shall confess before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And so we see here Christ kind of lays that explanation out. You know, in the sense of the word fear, where it's afraid, where it's wrong. You know, if we're innocent, we have no need to fear. And I know that many in this world that believe in the once saved, always saved, take this a different route. You know, if we're innocent, we have no need to fear. It's a true statement, but that doesn't mean that we can run around and sin and do what we want to at any point in our life just because we accept Jesus Christ. You know, there's a need to continue in this. You know, just like our children. You know, my children can be perfect angels for a good 5 minutes a day. They can, and they walk around in happiness, and we can be happy with them. You know, and then the next second they're fighting or they're throwing stuff all over the place and causing a ruckus, you know, and they have need to repent of that. And they have need to go back and but it goes back and forth. There's a constant need to keep this up. But if we're innocent, you know, if we serve the Lord, we have no reason to fear. But opposite that, if we don't want to serve the Lord, if we want to walk in the ways of man, the natural man, or walk in the ways of the devil and seek to him, then we have great need to fear. And part of that fear is that judgment, because we have to come before the Lord at some point to be judged of the things that we've done. And that's where that fear comes from. If we're innocent, we have no need to fear that judgment. But if we've walked in his pathways as he's commanded us, and we see, we'll never be those worthy creatures that we need to be. We can't live up to what he is. We can't be as God. But we certainly can attempt to get there as much as we can. Let's go to Moroni 8:18. Now this is actually Mormon. It's an epistle that Mormon had written to Moroni, and he's talking about in this case in particular, he's talking about children and baptism, and there's no need to do that. But there's one verse of scripture that applies to all of this, and it says in verse 18, "Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God, and fear not what man can do. For perfect love casteth out all fear. I am filled with charity, which is everlasting love. Wherefore all children are alike unto me, wherefore I love little children with perfect love, and they are all alike and partakers of salvation." And that scripture right there, obviously I was going for perfect love casteth out all fear, and I'm filled with charity. You know, as I've talked about today, that there's really, in my simple mind, there's two definitions of fear. You know, there's one really that's opposite of God. It's a fear and it's a dread. We're worried about our sins. We're worried about driving or flying, or we're worried about what our coworkers think, or we're worried about what I wear. You know, that's the fear that Satan wants us to have. He wants us to have that fear. And then opposite of that is the fear of God. And that fear of God is to have charity. It's to walk perfectly before him. It's attempt to serve the Lord in everything that you can possibly do. And that's what... That's what the Lord desires of us. So we have, you know, it's kind of interesting. We talk about the perfect round and opposites in all things, and this word fear really has an opposite. That we can be afraid of. We can be afraid and really by being afraid, you know, we're not trusting in the Lord, and we really need to trust in the Lord. All right. Let's go to Psalm 55. For those of you that were paying attention at the beginning, this is my last scripture. I'm going to read the very end of this, 16 to 23. And it says here in 16, this is Psalm 55, 16 through 23. And it says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful man shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in these." In this particular psalm, when you read it all together, you see kind of a transition of what David's doing there. You know, at one second, he's in prayer, he's fearful, he's afraid of things. He says in verse 5 that he's afraid of trembling or come over me and horror hath overwhelmed me. And then he seeks out vengeance. You know, he wants the Lord to come destroy him. He wants to be that vengeful God. And then at the end, you know, he makes those words, "As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me." We are to rely upon the Lord. We are to fear the Lord and he will provide everything. There's a scripture that says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Of course, I probably butchered that, but you know, the Lord's going to provide everything. You know, we have no need to be fearful. If our enemies are out there desiring to destroy us, the Lord's will seek that revenge. We don't need to seek it. We don't need to be fearful except of the Lord and the judgment that he brings before us. But it's done in love. It's not meant to be fear as a bad thing, but fear is a good thing. To love the Lord and to do what the Lord asks us to do. And that example of the parents, I think, is such a good one when you look at the children, what the Lord can provide for us and do for us. And He is great to us small creatures, yet he loves us and cares for us and watches over us. And we have a need to fear him. Thank you.